are listening to the Punk News Podcast, episode 303, which is a palindrome. Not a very interesting one. Welcome to the Punk News Podcast. My name is Adam White. I'm recording for you here in my basement in Niagara Falls, Ontario. Joining me on tonight's show, something new, something interesting here. Joining me on tonight's show is Mr. Ricky Frankel out of Los Angeles. Ricky.
Yes.
How you doing?
I'm good. This is going to be an interesting episode.
It is, because also joining us on tonight's show is Mr. Tom Trauma out of Grand Rapids. Tom, hi.
Hey, guys. Boy, we are going to pull some crazy stuff tonight now that we're out from under the tyrannical thumb of one John Gentile. Anything could happen.
That's right. This is the first show in a long while that Mr. John Gentile, our prolific features editor out of Philadelphia, is not on the program. So if you listen to this show but really hate John but keep listening to this show, this is your oasis in the sea, I guess. Or in the sea, it doesn't make any sense. Oasis in the desert. Yeah, that one. Also, why do you listen to this show if you don't like the hosts? That's really fucking, that's weird. You could do something else with your time. But if you tune in every week for the wacky antics of Mr. John Gentile, fear not. He'll be back in a week. He's on vacation, I guess.
That's apparently what he said.
We don't know where or what he's doing. I see periodic, like, weird show reports from him popping up on Facebook. You know, like, so I think he's just like he's out on adventures, and none of his adventures involve us.
Guy is an enigma wrapped in a riddle. No question.
So I don't have access to any of John's magic podcast resources right now, so I don't exactly have any mail or anything to read. I could make some up. Which is what I assume John does half the time, because I don't think anyone actually listens to this show. So we're going to talk about some of the stories that happened this past week. If anyone wants to email us, of course, you can do so at podcast@punknews.org. We love to hear from you. The first thing that I want to talk about this week is sort of near and dear to my heart, because it's been a preoccupation of mine for the past few months, at least. And that is that the long list for the Polaris Music Prize has been the long list has been announced. It happened today, and today is a Wednesday, out in Whitehorse in the great old Yukon territories, way up north here in Canada. The Polaris people got together in Whitehorse, and they announced the 40 albums from Canadian artists that are on the long list. So the way that this sucker works is that there are any of the eligible records came out between June 1st of 2015 and May 31st of 2016. There was a group of 192 music journalists, broadcasters, bloggers, and me, included in that, that got together in this private internet back alley, and for the past several months have been nominating and debating albums. And then over the past couple weeks ago, we all had to pick five, rank them, and vote. So of everyone that was involved, we nominated a total of 183 different records that came out during that period. And people got into it and people discussed it. And there's all sorts of intrigue that I'm not even sure that I'm aware of, because you know, I'm new to the whole jury thing. In past years, I think things got way more heated, and there had to be a lot of some clampdowns to make sure that all the Canadian music journalists were being civil with each other and not trying to destroy each other. And I'm sure that, you know, like most things on the internet, when you have, you know, that many people involved, there's all sorts of crazy, you know, back alley discussion areas and things like that, and, you know, the meeting in the hallway between the meetings kind of thing. So of all the voting and everything, a list of 40 has come out. On this list of 40, it reflects a bunch of interesting stuff. there is, first of all, there is the, Ricky, have you heard the term poptimism?
No. What does that mean?
Okay. Well, poptimism is this thing that you're seeing happen on sites like Pitchfork and everything else over the past few years, where that snide indie rock thing where we all decided that like what people in the mainstream listen to is trash.
Uh-huh.
That sort of flipped on its head, where like the snake is eating its own tail, and now we're like, hey, all this pop stuff isn't actually that bad.
Oh, that sucks.
Right? So you look at the list here, and the long list is posted on Punk News right now, and it's a weird list of sort of like old school indie rock stalwarts that you would expect to be on a list of Canadian indie rock people. People like, I want to say the most stereotypical one that's on the list here is Destroyer, which is Dan Behar's band out of Vancouver there. He's one of the guys in the New Pornographers, like classic, like, you know, eccentric man with a guitar, indie rock kind of stuff. So of course he's on this list, and he's been on lists in past years. But you also look at the list here, and like, you got fucking Justin Bieber's on the list. Drake is on the list. There was a huge amount of groundswell, let me tell you, behind the scenes for this Carly Rae Jepsen record.
What the fuck?
Right? So those guys show up on the list. But then there's other stuff. There's country stuff on here. There's actual like folk stuff, and there's some punk stuff that's on there. So as a total mix, the voting actually came out really interesting, because there is a little bit of everything that is on there, but it definitely, to me, it reflects that sense that I've started seeing amongst the online music journalists, where they're taking like a serious look at the kind of stuff that, at least when I was in high school, I would have been like, hey, I'm into punk rock, so fuck you and your, you know, NSYNCs or whatever, right? But it seems to be a thing now. So the list is out. You can find the full list there. From a punk rock perspective, or maybe from a perspective of stuff that people who listen to this podcast are going to be interested in, there's a few on here that you should take note of. The Vancouver's White Lung appears on here for their record Paradise, which is an amazing record and is really fun. Mr. Jordan Baker, that used to run a blog called Paste Punk back in the day, that was a contemporary to Punk News when it was out. He referred to Paradise as, I think he called it, White Lungs Against the Grain. So if White Lung was Bad Religion, Paradise is there against the grain. That sounds really cool, and it's a good record. I don't exactly know what that means, but it sounds really cool. Also on here, Pup's The Dream Is Over is on here. Everyone loves Pup, and well deserved, because it's super fun.
Let me just say that record has been on my record. I've been listening to that one like nonstop, along with the Falcon record. But I saw Pup on Friday, and they fucking killed it with their old songs, and especially the new songs. But continue.
Are they touring with the Falcon, or because Brendan Kelly keeps talking about them as if he's with them?
I think he's touring. They'll be touring with the Copyrights later next month, I think. But they are touring right now with, I think it was, Charlie Bliss and Roswell Kid.
Okay, yeah. Cool. So anyways, yeah, so Pop's The Dream Is Over is on here. And then my number one record from last year's lists, the record Soar by the band Dilly Dally is on here. And if you remember Dilly Dally, and I'm going to play something by them in a minute, they were a Toronto-based band, female-fronted, really super grungy and snotty and everything. So those ones are on there. Those, to me, are the main sort of punk rock bands that are on here. You have sort of like other people that are tangentially related to the punk scene that show up on this list as well, that I just kind of want to mention. You've got like Daniel Romano's new record Mosey is on here, and Daniel is of course the front man of Attack in Black back in the day. City and Colors new record, If I Should Go Before You is on here, and Dallas Green from City and Color was in Alexis on Fire, of course. And then, there's other bands on here that people would know, I think, out of our scene, maybe primarily Black Mountain, which is kind of like a stoner metal band out of the West Coast of Canada. So anyways, the whole thing is on here. Also, Grimes' new record, Art Angels, is on here, which is totally in the pop realm, but is super wonderful and I'm obsessed with. But I promise myself I won't talk about it on this show ever, because it's the total rabbit hole that I don't need to go down. Anyways, though, the full list, which I got the pleasure of voting on with a bunch of people that I would have considered like... I don't know, like weird musical, not musical heroes. It's not the right word for it, but the group is weird because I get in there and it's like, I don't know, like Grant Lawrence from CBC Radio 3, who was in a punk band called The Smugglers that was on Lookout Records. Like he's one of like the old men in this group. Like he's always been a juror because he's just like one of these people in the Canadian music scene that is just like a tastemaker guy. So he's in there. And then like the DJs of the major Toronto alternative radio stations that I've listened to since I was a kid are all in the group. And like, if I look at the list of people that are jurors, I don't really know how I got in there except for some sort of affirmative action thing. So that's, yeah. Which is like a Niagara Falls person, alternative action. Like we don't have like a middle-aged white straight guy from Niagara Falls. So well, let's get one of them. That's what they did. So anyways, the Polaris list is up. You guys can check it out. I'm going to play a song just to kind of get this show kicked off by one and a half of the bands that is that's on the list right now. So I'm going to play you guys a Dilly Dally song, but I'm not actually going to play a song from Soar. I'm going to play a Dilly Dally cover, and the cover is of Drake's Know Yourself. So this is Dilly Dally taking this Drake song from 2015 and just making it as nasty and sleazy and great as they possibly could. So here you go. This is Dilly Dally covering Drake's Know Yourself.
I was running through the six with my hoes. Can't cash, you know how it goes. I get a Ferrari, then I swerve. I get a Bugatti, a Silver. Shaking it so loud, and I'm not trying. Should take them sales. Shady to turn up, but take a fine for that. Yeah, it's been where you find me, yeah. It's been where you find me, yeah. I was running through the six with my
the CanCon section of the show is over. We are back. Ricky, Descendants.
Descendants, yes. Very excited about this. Descendants have announced a U.S. tour for September and October. And of course, we talked about this last week. The band recently announced their new album, Hypercaffeine Spazinate. Still having trouble saying that completely right. Which comes out on July 29th via Epitaph Records. Fuck yeah. Stoked. Hopefully I can see the Descendants two times this year. So guys, are you going?
This is one of the few bands that brings everybody together around here, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know if I will get to see them or not. I hope they're still going to add some dates. There's a lot of empty holes. But unless I go to Riot Fest Chicago, it doesn't look that good for me. But we'll see.
See, I was looking at this list, and what immediately occurred to me was that they have 3 dates where they're playing with Fucked Up.
Yeah, that's going to be cool.
And the idea of like a Descendants Fucked Up show is sort of amazing to me. And I don't think I've ever seen Descendants play. Although I'm sure I would have rembered it if I have. I don't think I've seen Descendants play. I've seen Fucked Up play a bunch of times, but I'm always down for more. But I'm looking at that and I'm just like, man, like that just seems like such a, that would be such like a spiritually positive show for me to be at.
That's,
like it would be, yeah, it would, it cool. would fucking fill me up to the brim of punk rock goodness to which I need to be. So I'm looking at the dates for that. So they're doing that October 8th in New York City, October 13th in Philly, and October 15th in Silver Spring, Maryland. So I'm thinking, you know what? I could maybe make that happen.
You do all three?
I don't know how.
Do all three?
It's good. Not all three, it's a full, because I have like a job and a
dedicate
family
a full
and
week to three shows.
Yeah,
follow them like a deadhead.
There are so many bands that I've said I'm going to follow around like a deadhead in my life, and I've never done like a two show thing. Like it has never, like I've failed at that in every possible way.
I have, dude. It's pretty awesome. I gotta say.
Do you care to name names?
There's one band in particular. They're not real big, but they have a cult following. They're from Indianapolis. They're called Sloppy Seconds. They were a cool pop punk band, you know, mostly in the 90s. So I try to follow them for at least a couple dates. They only tour like a week a year. They're kind of older guys now, you know. And the other, I did it for Bad Religion real briefly.
Oh, very cool.
But that's quite a dichotomy of bands there. But, you know, on the Descendants thing, you were saying you don't remember if you ever saw them. You know, I don't know how many Warped Tours you went to. You know, I went to a few in the mid-late 90s. And there was just so many great bands. Like now you look at the bands that played on those bills and it sort of blows your mind. But we took it for granted because there was just so many cool bands. But Descendants played that a couple of times, a handful of times. But ironically, I was thinking about the Descendants thing. I've seen them a handful of times, but I've literally never seen them play indoors. I saw them a couple of times on the Warped Tour, and then I saw them a couple of times at Riot Fest Chicago. But I'm like, I really need to see them, you know, when it's dark and there's lights. You know, you're spilling your beer on the ground instead of in the dirt or the grass. So I'm hoping I can catch one of these shows.
I'm kind of a
theater, whatever they're playing.
See, I'm glad that John's not on the show tonight, because I'm going to suggest that maybe I should go to Philly to see the Descendants in October. But if he was here, he would peer pressure me into actually making that happen. And I don't want that pressure, because if I'm really good at something, it is say I'm going to a show and then flaking out at going to the show. Like that is I have that down to a fucking art. Like there could be a show upstairs in my house and I might find a reason not to go to that show. And that reason is going to be like super dumb and I will regret it forever. But I'm really good at making that excuse.
You know,
so yeah,
I know you're almost 10 years younger than I am, but I remember those days too. And it does. I've gotten better about it, but there's nothing worse than like on a Tuesday night and I had to drive more or less a half hour to get to any local shows, and you're leaving town at like 9:30 and you know you have to get up in the morning and you're not even leaving till 9:30 and you know you're totally screwed. It's easy to lose your motivation.
Yeah, there's a lot of times where that's the exact situation basically, and I'm just like, I didn't see that band again, and then, you know, then they'll die in a plane crash. So
yeah, never you happened. Always got unlimited chances to see a band again until you don't.
So anyways, yeah, there's some Descendants tours coming. Yeah, Ricky, I didn't even think about this thing filling in, or sorry, Tom, you had said that. So yeah, if this does fill in more, it opens up a lot more opportunities.
And they're probably going to hit Canada. I'd be surprised if they didn't, at least once.
Our lovely readers were making some comments on it. One of them kind of made the comment along the lines of, look, you can tell this is an old man tour. Look at all those like days off. But I was like, well, man, maybe they'll throw in a, you know, maybe they'll be a Detroit or a Cleveland or something. And apparently, what's the bass player's name? Carl said on Facebook or something that there were more dates coming. So it doesn't sound like this is going to be it.
No, I would doubt very much. I mean, come on, they're probably going to do Europe too.
Maybe, but they don't need to do, you know, they don't need to do secondary markets. They can do, you know, they can, this, I don't know how many dates are on this thing, but honestly, they can do 20 shows across the country, and that's all they need to do. They can play bigger places. You know, those of us that can will drive to them to see the show. It's not like, you know, they're not going to play, you know, Des Moines, Iowa, probably.
I just like to know how Modern Baseball got on the bill with them for the two California shows that they're with.
I was not real thrilled about any of the openers, I got to tell you. Now, I don't know, fucked up too much. It just wasn't in my wheelhouse. But yeah, I didn't think any of the openers
were
mind-boggling.
I have a feeling that Fucked Up and Descendants will be a great show.
It seems like a strange pairing to me, but like I said, I'm not really that familiar.
I think that'll be cool. And I know that Pozo California one, that's actually a festival with like NoFX and Bad Religion too. So yeah, it'll be outside and hot,
like during the daylight and probably all those horrible things about festivals.
Yeah, like modern baseball does seem a little bit little interesting there. I don't know about that one.
I'm hopefully going to go to the Los Angeles one, so I will report back.
All right. Cool. Well, now the Seattle shows, the Portland shows, the ones in the Pacific Midwest are with Bully. I'm totally blanking on who that is.
Yeah, I have no idea who that is.
I actually don't either.
All right, so who Bully is?
Three guys,
three for three.
That don't know who the band is.
Yes, this is. Let's see. I feel like I should know who this is. Google's not even telling me. It's one of those words that's horrible.
It's too generic. Yeah.
Whatever. Get a more Googleable band name, Bully. Let's keep going here because.
Yes.
This is something that I know everyone is super excited about. Ricky, I think you're over the moon about here. So Gloss have released a new 5-song EP. It is titled The Trans Day of Revenge. It's a 7-inch that's being released through Total Negativity and Nervous Nelly in the US and through Sabotage in Europe. This follows up the band's 2015 demo that's just sort of blew up. That demo last year was like, it just got the zeitgeist, I guess, if I'm using that word even correctly. Like it just, you know, it touched a nerve, and everyone was all about that. So you can find links to stream this sucker or to order it over on Punk News. Ricky, you were recently talking about, you played Gloss on last week's show, did you not?
Yeah, like, that's why, yeah. This is so cool. Like I'm I wrote about them on that 16 bands to check out for 2016, and you know, this band is, first of all, this EP is just cute, just fucking a monster in like a good way. This thing really, you know, hits hard. And Trevor, a reviewer, reviewed it and gave it a perfect score. EP is it's a really great follow up to the demo. And you know, the way I posted this one, the story. It's funny. This band has almost no social media presence at all. I think their lead vocalist has like a Twitter account. And the only way I knew that this kid had come out was that Bandcamp alerted me that they had uploaded this new EP. That was the only way. So I tried getting it up there as fast as possible. No, this rocks. I hope they do some touring or at some point. That would be I'd really like to see them. Their shows look insane. What do you guys think?
It's pretty vicious.
It is
a pretty I've only
heard it on the podcast, but it does sound good. I'm gonna seek it out.
It is incredibly it's incredibly vital, I guess, is what I get from this. I mean, like, let alone what's been going on in the news recently, but just, you know, the trans rights, the all the messaging around LGBT rights issues had been, you know, coming to the forefront in the punk rock scene, like, you know, let alone the rest of the world, with way more intensity over the past couple of years than it has. And to have a band like this that came out of nowhere, that that didn't have, you know, a prior career that they were then taking and catapulting off the new message. Like, I'm comparing this to, say, Against Me, where when Laura came out and was Laura, there was, you know, it was huge news because it was, you know, it was Tom from Against Me that was coming out as trans. So there was a, you know, they had a record there. They had, you know, everyone had known about them. They were a gigantic band in the punk scene before any of that happened. You look at someone like Gloss, and like, no one knew who Gloss was, and they have just sort of just fucking stormed the gates. And being like as angry and vital and fucking punk rock as possible, and not playing on anything, not relying on any past history, and that's sort of amazing.
Well, and also they're not relying on any sort of media at all. That was also remarkable about the demo. Not just the music, but it just got passed around in a very like natural way. I mean, everyone was talking about it at the end of 2015. I know it made. I think it made like Laura Jane Grace's top releases of the year for some other publication, and I know like one or two people that we asked to make their top 10 lists put it on theirs too, and I think Adam Eisenberg had it on his end of the year list. I stupidly didn't put it on mine because I didn't find it in time, but they blew up in a very natural way that we don't see. That you probably only saw in a pre-digital age. I think that's what's so cool about it.
Yeah, I mean, they feel. I mean, there's been a handful of bands that have had kind of purposefully no internet presence or very minimal. And like Tragedy is the one that everyone always talks about. And a lot of times those bands seem to get attention because they're not playing the game,
right?
So anyways, Gloss has just like, there's such an interesting mix of like a message and the way that it's being delivered and everything here that,
and the music's, you know, good. Like the music's and really good.
Well, that's the thing too, is that it's, if you like angry, loud, hardcore punk, there is no reason why you wouldn't be into this. And that makes it all sort of work, right? Like that, that holds it all together. So anyways, new Gloss EP is really fucking cool. So you guys should go check that out because you should. Now, I wanted to contrast that with the next one. And I don't mean to keep shitting on this.
No. I'm right there with you. So let's do this.
Because there's really a part of me that is not that cynical about this. But according to Billboard.com, Prophets of Rage, which is the group that features Chuck D of Public Enemy, Be Real of Cypress Hill, and then everyone but Zach from Rage Against the Machine, they are going into the studio to record their new original song, The Party's Over. So you can find links to some info about that and everything. There is a live recording of the song from the band's first show. That took place at the Whiskey A Go-Go in Los Angeles. And you can find that recording over on Punk News and check it out. Ricky, I really don't want to be the guy.
No, and we're both going to be the guys.
Someone called me out on Twitter who I like, one of our lovely readers that actually like our readers, listeners that actually responds to us.
Yeah.
One of the three people that listens to this show was like, Why are you hating on this? And I'm like, I'm not.
You know, I kind of figured this out, and you know, I don't know if either of you or if our listeners have. I mean, probably most of our listeners have watched that the Descendants documentary. And there's that.
Oh yeah.
And there's that part where I forget which vocalist from All says it, but he says like, you know, All is the band that's guilty of not being the Descendants. Prophets of Rage is sort of is the band guilty of not being Rage Against the Machine. I mean, this song was okay, but it sounded like a Rage Against the Machine song. And you need Zach for this. And no disrespect to the two lead lead guys here, but this is the closest you're gonna get to Rage Against the Machine, and I think it's just kind of shitty to fans, and I got to tell you, I love Rage. I think I'm sitting this out.
I also just wanted to mention here, because I kind of feel like a heel about not mentioning it, but DJ Lord from Public Enemy is also a member of this group. I always leave him out when I'm a when I'm listing who's in here. But anyway,
so a rap rock band with a DJ, like what? This isn't it's not 2001.
Limp Bizkit, dude.
Yeah, I know. I mean, they're like Metalocalypse did a huge one episode dedicated to this whole thing.
I've yet to really put my finger on what I find so.
I don't hate
dismissible about this.
It's that it's not Cypress Hill connection. For me, it's the Cypress Hill connection. I can deal with the Public Enemy thing. I just can't deal with the Cypress Hill thing.
Well, see, I'd be cool with the Public Enemy thing, but I think that, to me, it's just like I don't think the sum of the parts is all that interesting. And I think that they suffer from being the old hat protest guys immensely when they're trying to talk about what this project is, because they had all this language when they originally announced this supergroup here, where it was like, you know, the country's gone to shit, like rage has to return, right? We're like, they were going to ride back on their horse and teach us all about protest, right? I'm like, okay, I guess. But if you compare, say, the stuff that's on that Gloss record to the live recording of this, of the Party's Over, like the Gloss record sounds like it's really fucking angry, and it's really fucking...
It's vital,
right? And then you listen to this, and it's like...
It's sort of like a parody of itself.
No,
this is radio protest music.
It's the old farts doing their old fart thing. And it's not even like... I'm not ragging on the genre or anything like that, because that's not what's bothering me. It's just that it's... I feel that if I was the... Like, I don't know. Let's say I'm the organizer of you know, the RNC conference thing where they're gonna you know, officially nominate Trump.
Oh yeah.
And let's say there's two stages that are outside of my show, and on the one stage is Prophets of Rage, and on the other stage is Gloss. To me, being the guy who's organizing the RNC stuff, and also being a lizard person, Gloss is way scarier than Prophets of Rage.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
Because Prophets of Rage is, it's this celebrity group that's come together to, you know, to capitalize on the fact that there's a lot of noise coming out of the Republican camp right now. And, you know, of course these guys are going to show up and protest because they were there for Bush and they were there before Bush. And I get that feeling about it, where I would look at, say, something like what Gloss is doing, and I'd be like, I'm going to go walk around this stage the long way because, you know, that band is freaking me out. The Prophets of Rage one, you know, I'm going to get in the mosh pit.
Well, and you know, well, first of all, you know, Rage, I think their tour, the Rage tour, the Prophets of Rage tour is going to, like, I think they're going to try and end it so that they end in Cleveland at the national convention and, like, protest it, like, the way that Rage Against the Machine did it at the 2000, like, Democratic National Convention. And then I think they tried doing it in, like, 2008 again, but they got shut down for some reason. This isn't really new from these guys. One thing I thought that was interesting in another article about the tour that they're doing, the video shows like the full Hollywood Palladium performance, and they talk about how there's always room for Zach when he wants to join, and that kind of backs up my theory of what I said last week, which was, it just sounds like Zach's kind of difficult to work with. I mean, we've needed Rage Against the Machine on a political level. For the last, like, when did they break up? Like 2001? We needed them for the last 15 years. We could have gotten like three more albums from them if they just kept their shit together.
Wasn't the rumor that he got writer's block? And you had never heard that? That was what I never heard about Zach, was that he just couldn't write.
Well, they
wasn't able. Now, I don't know. Listen, that's just something I heard. It might be total BS.
Well, no, they, he couldn't have gotten writer's block because he did that one EP with that
One Day as a Lion.
One Day as a Lion. So there's that, and then also they broke up at the 2001 MTV Awards because if you
one of them climbed a statue.
Tim climbed the statue or something like that, and they lost to their video lost to Limp Bizkit's Break Stuff or something like that. And you can see the video. There's a video of it on YouTube.
I remember that. That was he climbed some statue and just kind of hung out there awkwardly.
Yeah, just to crash the weird. Part. Like just to crash Limp Bizkit's acceptance speech, which was honestly, I think. God, I'm totally nerding out here. The video that they
you're nerding about Limp Bizkit.
Just rage. It's their video was Sleep Now in the Fire, which is their protest on Wall Street when Michael Moore was there and he directed it, and then and it was Limp Bizkit's Break Stuff. Yeah, and they lost to that, and that's pretty much. That's when it all went downhill really fast. But
I get, but here's the thing too. It's to me, Sleep Down on the Fire is so much a better song than The Party's Over.
Oh, absolutely. That's why they need Zach. If we get an album out of them, I don't know how good this is going to be.
Well, and I think a part of it is that to me, and I'm going to use a really weird term here, but Zach gave the band a sense of, I want to say levity, but that's probably
He made it feel everything was urgent.
Urgency. That's really more what I'm looking for, Zach made stuff sound urgent in a way that made it so the fact that underneath the urgency you had a bunch of people playing drop D bass and wanking away on the guitar was acceptable. Right?
Yeah, they were the
not that hey, the band was good. I don't want to take that away from them. But given, if you're going to push me on it, I'd rather listen to Zach doing a thing with whoever backing him than I would listen to Rage with whoever fronting them.
Well, yeah. And also, I think Prophets of Rage is coming much more from a hip hop background anyway. If you read about Zach's influences, he was all about the straight edge hardcore and the DC scene. The Discord Records, 80s era stuff. And that's where I think the hip hop and the punk rock kind of meshed really well with Rage. But this is very much hip hop oriented, I think.
Yeah. So anyways, Prophets of Rage. There you go. I don't know. I feel like someone's going to.
Tickets were expensive. I just checked just to see what they were like. But anyway, we can keep going.
I saw Rage Against the Machine a couple times in their heyday. Once was at the third Lollapalooza.
Nice.
I think the third one. They were the very first band to play on the main stage, I think. But the other time I saw them, it's funny. I just came to my mind. They were playing with Cypress Hill at a club.
I saw
here in wonderful Grand Rapids. That would have been 95, 94, 93. I don't know.
I saw them the very last time they ever played together as of right now.
You don't want them to get back together.
No, I would love.
It would ruin your streak.
Honestly, I would love to see them again. It was the best show I'd ever been to. It still is, and it was 2011 at the LA Coliseum, and it was this huge LA Rising Festival, which was supposed to be this yearly thing, but it never. We're 5 years later. It's only been one. So.
Yeah. Oh boy. Yeah. Anyways, Ricky, play us a song here and we'll keep going.
All right, cool. So I really don't make it a secret that anything that Ezra Kyer is involved with, I typically love. Morning Glory, when he was in Leftover Crack, Choking Victim. But I realized I hadn't no one really talks about this band anymore, and they even though they put out a 7-inch and an album, they deserve a lot more credit, cuz you can also see where Morning Glory kind of came from almost. So I'm going to play a song by Ezra Kyer's band that kind of took place between Choking Victim, Leftover Crackish. I mean, this. So they're called Indie K. Their album's called Kill Whitey, which came out in 2002. And this song I'm going to play is called East Coast Rising, and you might even recognize some voices from Choking Victim that do some guests. There's some guest vocalists you might recognize. So, again, here is East Coast Rising by Indie K.
was NDK with East Coast Rising. We're going to just blast through a few stories here. Some interesting stuff that has come up, some dumb stuff that's come up. And
I don't know how fast we'll, I don't know how fast are we going to get through the dumb stuff, though? Let's be honest.
Okay, well, it's weird here because the
we're all waiting here with our serpent teeth.
Yes, yeah, so the cool stuff is pretty quick.
Yeah,
Ricky, jump on that.
Okay, so in a MentorLeakTimes.com interview with Keith Morris, the article mentioned some details about his upcoming autobiography, which is co-authored by Jim Rowland. The title of it is called My Damage, The Story of a Punk Rock Survivor, and it will be out on August 30th, 2016, through DeCapo. And you can read a full, like, description of you can read the full article through the Punk News article, and you can read a passage about the book on the article too. So, guys, this is something I think everyone was kind of looking forward to, especially John, who's not here.
So many John things, and he's not here.
This is definitely a John thing. Yeah,
I love punk biographies, good ones, bad ones, mediocre ones. I look forward to reading this definitely.
Yeah, and I'm not much to say about it. It'll be, you know, be nice to have when it actually comes out. So
yeah, I think this will be cool because, you know, hopefully he'll be talking about Black Flag, like all the bands he's been in, including Flag, which would be really cool. And maybe we'll get some more. I'd be really interested to read the parts if they're in there about the problems with Greg Ginn. I think that'd be very interesting to see. So.
All right, well, let's keep rolling here. I mean, yeah, there's problems with Greg Ginn is something that we could have a whole podcast about.
Yes, we could.
But let's not do that. Tom, tell us a little bit about this Tim Armstrong thing.
Well, according to a post on Joey Castillo's Instagram account, he and Matt Freeman have been in the studio with Tim Armstrong working on Armstrong's new solo record. Unfortunately, we don't really get any more details about it, but you see a nice picture of the three of them. In the studio. I still buy every Rancid record, but I have not been very good about following all the branches of the Rancid family tree, so I am not very familiar with Tim Armstrong's solo stuff. But I gotta say, you know, Joey Castillo, so I met Joey Castillo one time more than 20 years ago, and he was playing with a band called Sure Tooth, who had like a couple of minor hits but never really made it big, but they were kind of cool. Met him when they were playing at a small club, you know. And I was looking at his discography. This guy has played on a ton of amazing records. So if you get a chance, check out Joey Castillo's discography. It's amazing. I'm blown away. I mean, he's like the who's the guy who plays for the... He's like the Josh Fries of, like, the stoner metal scene. Anyway, check it out.
It's amazing looking at this picture how Matt Freeman...
Looks like Duck Dynasty or something, huh?
No, that's fucking... That's not Matt, though, right?
Like, yeah, Matt looks like he just got done bowling or something.
I know, like Matt's always sort of looked like the straight-laced one of them, I mean, comparatively, as far as Rancid goes. First of all, I mean, like, I'm digging Beard Tim. Like, I like Tim with a crazy hobo beard.
Interesting, because there's... inevitably like one or two posts like comments about how he should shave it.
Why though? Like, when was Tim Armstrong pretty? what do we want? Like oh man, like we can't see Tim's chiseled cheekbones like we used to back in the day. Like, Tim was a fucked up looking dude forever, and if he wants to be a crazy fucked up looking dude with a beard and a hat, then cool, like let him do it. I'm good.
It's an impressive beard.
Yeah, and it's getting. It seems way more. White than the last time I've seen it.
A lot of food stuck in there, I bet.
But I mean, contrast that with Matt Freeman, who looks like fresh as the day he was born.
He does. He looks like a league bowler. I'm telling you.
So anyways, yeah, so I on the one hand, Tim is continuing to down this road, and Matt Freeman looks great. So,
you know, I support the bald head, but I just don't have the stones to get the spider web on the head. I just can't do it. I go with the nice clean shave.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised that more people have a problem with the beard than the spider web head tattoo.
But well, the beard's he's newer. Probably made enough money that he doesn't ever have to sit across the desk from someone and, you know, try to convince them to give them a job. It's kind of impractical for us working stiffs.
Yeah. So I'm all for it. Yeah. I'm the same as you. Where like I've heard everything Rancid's done. I was a giant fan as a Ute. The last couple things that they've done have not worked for me, but whatever. But I feel that the Tim Armstrong stuff I am totally not up to date on. So hey, I'm down if it's good though. So.
I'll check it out. I just remember like the. Was it the Tim Time Bomb and Friends thing where they did like a song a day or something like that?
And just, all the covers.
Yeah, and I'm just like, But yeah.
So now.
Yes. Do it. Do it. Right, do it.
Do it. First of all, I'm sorry for making the two of you watch.
Oh no,
this.
I had to post this, and I watched it. I watched it twice now, and I feel like my IQ has gone down several points.
I didn't even watch it until like 10 minutes before this podcast because I just knew that people were talking about it and that we could make fun of it. But oh my god, all right. So Good Charlotte, which if you recall was a. I don't know, like a shitty early 2000s mainstream pop punk band of some success that, you know,
no, I don't know. They were successful. Like they were definitely rock stars.
They were rock stars, for sure. Anyways, so that band is back. Woo. And, they have a song they've released called 40 Ounce Dream. The track is from their upcoming album, which is called Youth Authority. It is coming out, if you really care, on July 15th on, I don't know, some label I've
never heard of before. It's their own, it's like the brother's label.
Okay. Yeah. So I really don't give a
That's
shit.
That's why we never heard of it. I'm just saying.
I don't care. So anyways, they have this video that's out. The theme of the video is that everyone has died and they are the last band on earth. And, it really fucked me up, guys.
I told you, I'm like I said, I think I got dumber from watching this.
No, I don't even know. I've got some sort of post-traumatic thing happening because, so I remember this. I don't really remember any of this band's songs from when they were a band.
Oh, I do.
But I remember that they were. I'm looking at their past cover arts, and shit. The last sentence of the review that someone in the year 2001 wrote of the band's self-titled debut or self-titled record that was on Epic back then. The last sentence says, "If you like Lit, Eve 6, Phoenix TX, ooh, or Lefty, I definitely suggest this CD to you." So, yeah. So, I remember them as one of those bands. This video starts by them mugging around in the preamble to the video, and they all look like fucking scruffy road warrior people now, which is okay, but they look like a little bit too scruffy, like not
I think
fucking.
You're giving them too like much not, credit. I think they look like they're just got done eating wings at BW3s or something.
Well,
they
no, but like
the bro-ish.
Well, yeah, but they've all got like those, you know, like post millennium goatees that everyone has now. And
but not one spiderweb tattoo on their head.
Where's well, that's the thing. I mean,
on their yeah, probably I mean, on their elbows, guys.
You look at Tim Armstrong in that picture that we just talked about, where he looks like he's been like eating wings, like he's been like in the fucking fry oil, right? So like he's all grizzled and horrible.
Could he beat up at how many guys from Good Charlotte could he beat up at once before they overcame him? I think he could take three of them down.
I mean, the sad thing about it is that like back when Rancid was doing that weird like hanging out with pop stars thing, I'm sure that they had like a Good Charlotte bromance happening. But at any point. So Good Charlotte's here. So they all look kind of older and beefier and hair facialier than I remember them, and that's cool because that's kind of how I look. And then they start singing, and it's all what's it called? Auto-tune and
that was really kind of fucked up.
Like, jarringly so.
Like, right? There was too, I mean, I can't believe I have to say this. There was too much auto-tune. Well, there shouldn't be any at all.
Well, and that's the crazy thing is that, like I could understand the band when they were, like, I understand the path that they took, even if I don't really respect it. Like, that they were a pop rock band trying to make it back in the post Blink 182 era, and they had a sound that was super radio friendly, and they were cute people, and girls liked them, and
they
and
were
that.
Just rebellious enough.
Just rebellious enough, just dangerous enough, right? So they're not a boy band, we're a rock and roll band, sure. And they're going to go and get on MTV and hang out with, I don't know,
who the fuck they're hanging out with.
Carson Daly, right? And they're going to go do all that and then make a bunch of money and have a bunch of sex, and it's going to be amazing. And okay, like if, like, all right, like that's a path.
Boy, sign
like,
me up to sell out. Holy cow.
Right,
man.
Right? Like, all right.
So yeah, great. But here's the thing, they were on Epic and then they just kind of fucking, you know, farted out, and now they're self-releasing. So let's put this into perspective.
Well, but okay, so they did
still
that.
Their I'm surprised they didn't crowdsource it, you know, sitting in their mansions asking their fans for $15.
No, that's Sum 41's plan.
Ah, gotcha.
So, but hold on, let me finish here, because they, so at the time that when they're, you know, when their good looks could support it, all right, they're going to go do the super auto-tune thing and sing love songs and make girls really love them and all this and do the boy band thing, right? All right, cool. I mean, like, hey, that's a path. There are benefits to doing that, which I have just enumerated. So, okay, it's not what I would do, but I didn't get a chance. So they did that. That's fine. But now, like, so now you're old and ugly and no one gives a shit who you are. But you could probably still get people out to shows because you have name recognition. And let's assume that they're actually doing this independently and that this isn't just some sort of major sub-label thing that they're on. And you're self-releasing. So you can kind of do what you want at this point. I've got to imagine that that they wouldn't want to do this, like, crank up the auto-tune like it's 1998 thing. But they do.
Well,
it sounds super weird.
No, it just didn't work well, and it worked, and to the point where I even think they named the song wrong. 40 on stream, they barely say that. Probably should have just been called
at the end.
Yeah, it should have just been called The Last Man on Earth. Okay, guys, we get it.
Like, but that's funny, it. Ricky. I saw that title, and it was 40 on stream, and all I could think about two notes into it, I'm like, oh, it's gonna take more than one 40 ouncer for me to listen to this. But
this album's gonna be terrifyingly bad.
We're going to fight over who gets to review it just so we can brutalize it. But here's my thoughts on this, guys, right? So I'm in my early 40s. I'm certainly not in this band's audience. And I wasn't really familiar with their stuff. But it was worse than I could have imagined. It was really one of the worst things I've ever heard. And I was sitting, my daughter was sitting next to me watching it. She's 15. She loves all this punk. She loves, like, All Time Low's her favorite band, to put it into perspective. And she's like, yeah, this is pretty wimpy. And she was putting on some of their, like, harder edged early stuff. So even, I mean, it's just, I can't believe how bad it was.
I'll tell you, I'm
blown away. And I'm not just saying that to be a dick. It just was really one of the worst things I've ever heard.
No, this band, and I've said this on the podcast before about other bands like Blink 182 or Sum 41. I think they're trying to get on the nostalgia train. So people who listened to them in 2001, like, you know, that were probably my age or maybe a little older back then, would probably be, and also who don't know any better, would probably be into this and go see them. I remember their songs playing on the radio. I think, like, Lifestyles of the Rich and the Famous, and they did that song, and then they did what was the other
okay,
one?
Okay, I remember that.
Boys
song.
And,
okay,
also Boys and Girls. I remember that one, and just being like, "This is," and I was only like 12, and I just feel like this is god awful. But this band was interesting because they really pushed the quote unquote style of punk rock into the mainstream, kind of. And, like, I mean, these guys were heavy makeup, lit with Liberty spikes, but going to fancy fucking soiree parties that the label's throwing on. So to call them a pop punk band, kind of insulting to other pop punk bands. So I again, like with Blink-182, I've said this too. This is a punk influenced, a pop punk influenced power pop band. That's it.
I did not hear any power there, I gotta tell you, but hey, whatever.
Fine.
Yeah, so so in summation, you knew you shouldn't listen to that, and don't listen to it.
The video, as dumb as it was, if you turned the sound down, it wasn't that bad. It was just the to me, it was just.
I thought they were going for
it was competently filmed.
I thought there was sort of a Breaking Bad tip of the hat to Breaking Bad in there with the RV in the desert, but then I realized, oh, it's like apocalyptic. Okay.
Wasn't there that Last Man on Earth show?
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. Which I didn't watch either. But
is that show any good? I
never saw it.
I kind of want to watch that. It seemed
no.
It's one of the SNL guys, right?
Will Forte.
Will Forte. Yeah.
I could be down with a weird Will Forte apocalypse show, to tell you the truth, but it's just one of those things that just like. It's not on Canadian Netflix, so I don't fucking know what it is.
40 ounce dreams were the theme song. Could you make it through the theme song every week to watch the show? I don't
know. All right, so this next last story.
I've
done this very purposefully, and I want to mention this before you start, though.
Okay.
I have not at all read this story.
Okay.
So I know nothing about what you are about to say.
Oh, you're going to be really surprised.
And well, but see, here's what I want to do is I want to sort of like live react to the list of bands that are included here, mm-hmm. if only because it'll probably make me feel old. And I don't know, I get off on that, I guess. So, all right.
Okay. So, yeah. Well, there's the list here. I'd like to go through the list and pick out some of them because some of them are just precious. So,
but read the story.
Okay. Speaking of Good Charlotte. The details for the new Warped Tour compilation have been released. The compilation includes tracks by bands including Mass Intruder, Knuckle Puck, and Teenage Bottle Rocket, and it'll be out on June 24th. Look at this. The Target edition includes a bonus cut. And you can see the whole track listing on the Punk News article. I'm sorry, I'm laughing at a comment. I gotta read the comment later.
You know what the funny thing is? I went to a Target the other day. And they literally took all the music out of there.
Really?
Our local Target. There can't be more than 100 or 2 CDs in there. It was unbelievable.
Don't buy music at Target.
Pretty much done the same thing. Well, no, I don't buy it there anyway. But I was just like trying to keep myself occupied while somebody else was shopping, you know, that kind of thing.
I'm sorry. I just have to read like this one commenter. This one commenter said, I just lost it. I'm sorry. Hang on a second. Like this is, he said, in all caps, this guy just wrote, I pre-ordered 7. I don't know why.
It's funny, Bona.
I don't know why it's so funny to me, but like, I'm... okay, so, let's look at the track listing. We got Sleeping with Sirens. That's a band I see every once in a while.
I don't know who they are.
They are actually more or less based out of Grand Rapids. And that all-time low review, Ricky, the band Sleeping with Sirens. And I kind of made a joke about how I thought they were just going to join hands in the middle of the stage and weep together. It was just, it's not for me. The kids really, really seemed to like it, but it was not for me. I think I said the singer was a cross between Robert Smith and Patti Smith or something.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway.
All right. We have 50 of these to get through.
I'm not going to read all of them. Let's
fucking do it because
Looky here, Good Charlotte has a track called Makeshift. That's number 4. If you're going to buy the Target exclusive, is that Paris? You and I? Is that how you say their name? Is P-V-R-I-S?
Perverse.
Oh, get it. Okay. So that's on the Target exclusive. Whoever that is.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Let's see. Okay.
They're pretty popular, but.
Also, Yellow.
How do you know this stuff? Tom?
I see the name because I'm always looking at venues where places people are playing. And I know in Detroit, they played like 1,000-seater. So, I mean, I'm not saying it's like, you know, it's not like you're playing football stadiums. But, you know, you can kind of judge a band's popularity by how big a place
is. I'm not looking at this.
I'm not always that busy at work. I sometimes spend hours at a time perusing venues to see who's playing. What can I tell you?
Also, we have Yellow Card, Newfound Glory, a 1-2 punch. Mass Intruder, The Interrupters, Sum 41, and let's oh, and there's also a Teenage Bottle Rocket, but then I just lost this one. Every Time I Die, and would you look at that? Falling in Reverse has a song called Sexy Drug on here. That is weird. Guys,
okay.
Reactions.
But no, because I'm looking at this list, and of this 50, so I want to say, okay, so there's Teenage Bottle Rocket and Masked Intruder are on there. Mm-hmm. So those two,
I guess. They're songs that are from their most recent releases. It's not like they're exclusive, right?
No, these aren't. I don't think these are exclusive, except for that Target track.
Yeah, okay, except for the Target track. So anyways, okay, so let's take Teenage Bottle Rocket and Masked Intruder and put them over here.
Yeah, absolutely.
On the shelf. Now, okay, so the rest of them here, I'm either seeing old pop punk bands that are washed up but won't die,
but also, like
Sum 41 or Good Charlotte or Yellow
Card. But they were also right? playing, you know, Warped Tour 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, but you know, there's a lot of bands that played Warped Tour 10, 15 years ago, but they aren't caught dead on this now.
Right.
So you've got those. So, okay, so you've got a handful of old people pop punk bands that exist. So, all right, so I'll put them over here. I don't like them, but they're over here. I'll give them that. Then you got a bunch of this early 2000s bad metalcore-y kind of stuff. You've got your
Falling in Reverse,
your Vanas and your Atreus and
Every Time I Die.
Yeah, Victory Records-y stuff. So okay, so that's there, and the rest of the stuff. And this next thing is not a value judgment on these bands. It's just like it's more of a like what universe do I live in where I've never heard of these bands? Like this is what's weird to me. So I'm gonna like I can grab like a chunk. And here we go. This is 10 bands. I've never heard of any of these bands to my knowledge. So Tonight Alive, State Champs, Knuckle Puck, the story so far, I guess I've heard of them. I don't know what they sound like. Sykes, Ice Nine Kills. I keep wanting to say Nine Inch
Nails. I do too.
Ice Nine Kills, Set It Off, Crown the Empire, Real Friends, With Confidence, Water Parks, Not on Tour, Ballyhoo, Motionless in White. Like, who are these?
What is Motionless in White mean?
I must be around too many teenagers because I've heard of at least half of them.
Well, that's what I'm
older than you, Adam. What do you think about that?
Huh? That's what I don't understand. And I'm the fucking managing editor of Punk News. Like, I should probably know who some of these bands are. And I'm pretty sure that, like, earlier in my being a bad internet music journalist career, I could go and at least look at the Warped Tour comp and know who the bands were. So I'm not saying, oh, I don't know who these bands are, so these bands are nobodies. What I'm saying is that I don't know who these bands are. Like what am I not tuned into that the rest of the world is by which they know who these bands are?
You're 20 years too old, dude.
But not 20, like, but not 10 years older than that. Like, how old are you? How do you know? I don't get it.
Like I said, I have two teenagers, you got to remember. And my teenage daughter is a music fanatic, but I don't know. I spend a lot of time looking at music online. Come on, Adam, let's face it. Sometimes there's a fine line between managing editor and silent partner, you know? I might devote more time online to screwing around than you do. I might have less work to do.
I have zero idea what is going on.
Well, it is, you know, it's tough. And, you know, one of the reasons that I love doing the Punk News thing is because it's hard at my age to give a shit. And this sort of forces me to pay attention a little bit. I mean, dude, I'd never heard Good Charlotte before. I literally had never heard one of their songs. I was already old enough to be too wise to listen to their crap when they were popular the first time around, you know?
I can't figure out.
You're in your lost decade right now. Your kids are little.
The question is like, is it a bad thing? Like, am I missing something?
Oh, hell no.
Is maybe the more serious question.
Is this like
blissful ignorance?
Blissful, definitely.
I mean, you remember...
It's like a 40-ounce stream, Adam. It's just like a 40-ounce stream.
I mean, don't you guys remember, like... I'm not going to judge, like, the whole list here. But, I mean, like, every time we put a Falling in Reverse article up, it inevitably gets shit on by everyone. So just by taking that little sample... I don't think we're missing a ton. And also, I really don't look forward to that, to hearing what good Charlotte has to say, especially after the last story we just talked about. And I don't remember the last time yellow card was relevant, so I don't think we're missing much here. And I'm 24.
Well, is that the band with a piano, or was that the band with a violin?
Yellow card?
Yeah.
I think violin sounds familiar.
Who is the piano band? There was a handful of bad pop punk bands from that era that all had like a gimmick instrument.
I don't know piano.
Yeah.
I don't remember piano at all.
I was listening to the podcast from a couple weeks ago and I wasn't on, but there was a letter from the time before where I was on where some guy's like, I don't want to hear John and Tom tell me what's punk and what's not punk. But I'm just sitting here listening to you guys talk about the Yellow Cars and the Good Charlottes and all these old pop punk bands. I'm like, I'm sorry. These bands don't belong in the same room with the term punk, but that's just going to, you know, piss off the kids. But they just, to me, they're just, ugh.
I don't know. I don't really feel I need to be diplomatic about anything at this point.
Listen, somebody's got to be the grouchy old man, and I've really come to embrace the role. I know you're trying, Adam, but you know,
I'll get there.
Age and experience, there's no way to do it except for to actually get old and crusty.
It will be interesting to see at Warped Tour. I don't plan on going, but it would be interesting to see how like bands that, like, I guess we're calling them orgcore bands, like Mass Intruder and Teenage Bottle Rocket, kind of mesh with these other ones, you know. Well, that'll be kind of interesting.
When my daughter was trying to talk me into taking her, which luckily I have work obligations that don't
that
allow
would,
me to
Tom,
take
Tom,
her to the Detroit show.
Tom, that would
no
be
way to do. No way.
Tom, no. Tom,
I know what you're gonna
Tom,
say, and I can't do it.
That would be the best father daughter review ever.
We're looking at potentially the Blink tour with the Day to Remember.
That is a great second.
I'd rather go to like a 3-hour show in an arena than like spend all day. And like I said, my work obligations keep me from being able to take her. But when she's pretty bright, and when she's like trying to talk me into it, she's like, oh, look, Teenage Bottle Rock, you listen to those guys, or Masked Intruder, you like them, or what about Less Than Jake? I've heard you say Less Than Jake. I'm like, no, I'm sorry, that does not add up to a full day on concrete in Detroit for this grouchy old man. So maybe next year.
Well, grouchy old man, why don't you finish this sucker off with a song, and then we'll be done. We'll just cut the black.
Right off into the sunset, so to speak.
Like smash cut end credits. That's what we'll do.
I played on this show a band called Murder Party. They're a Grand Rapids band here, kind of one of my favorite local bands. Well, the singer, guitar player for Murder Party also has kind of a weird folk punk solo act, and he just put out a new EP, so I want to play a song from that. And I have only got a chance to listen to this once or twice because I'm so far backed up on my stuff that I'm currently reviewing. So I'm going to play the second track. The EP is called, you probably won't listen to this, the guy's name is Thomas Gunn, and the song I'm going to play is Broken Records. It's the second song off the new EP.
All roses and wine, circa 1999, back when my mentor spoke through headphones. But fig trees all had soundtracks, and I'm only getting back there just today by the good graces of those to whom I ache to say, thanks for playing the way you play. Cause all I stand for are these broken records. All I stand for are these broken records. You know what? Screw the kids, screw the battles I won't win due to the condescending ways by which I tried to promote change. Because when all is said, my heroes are all dead, save for the precious few who stayed as strong as the backbones of their protest songs. Len, when that needle hits the groove, while shape floors break, in the great blow minds simply by taking the time. Take a pit stop, swear in a bitch match fight. You know I wouldn't change a thing to have grown up this way. Nothing will ever be the same. Well, I can never go back to quieter days. When that needle hits the groove, while shake floors break, this body moves. The smoky nightclubs are where I grew up in 4/4 time. Revolt, resist, and press repeat. Well, I'm fighting with my tapped feet. Well, a song of my heart, with a local hall where I grew my spine with hearts, laying eyes, when it's time to cut them all down to size. You must excuse these tired lines. Well, they've always suited me fine. I get what it means to gamble it all, flirt with losing all behind. You gotta dance all push, and you know I'm in it. 78 revolutions per minute. All I stand for are these broken records. All I stand for are these broken records. When that needle hits the groove, while shake force break, this body moves. The smoky nightclubs are where I grew up in 4/4 time. Revolt, resist, and press repeat. Well, I'm fighting with my tapped feet. Well, that song of my heart, lit a local hall where I grew my spine with hearts, land eyes, with a tongue to cut them all down to size.
All right, that's it. I'm not doing it anymore. We're done.
What's left to be said? That's it, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.